Turn the service over to Brother Russell. Amen.
Just suppose God searched through heaven, He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me.
Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. But I'm so glad He was willing to drink His bitter cup. Although He prayed, "Father, let it pass from me." Oh, I'm so glad He didn't call heaven's angels. From my hands pull the nails that torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost.
Lord, man, thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Man, Brother Jimmy's right tonight, man. We're dead, man. I know we don't sing that good, but man, thank God for a place called Mount Calvary. Amen. Glory to God, man. If you're saved, amen, you're going to go to heaven one day. With something to be excited about, something to get a little bit, maybe shout a little about, maybe, you know, raise your hand, thank God for. Man, amen, thank you. All right, Nate, even Nate's getting a little excited tonight. All right, that's good, man. Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you what, if it wasn't for the blood, Brother Brad, we'd be on our way to hell.
Yeah.
Man, that's something to get excited about tonight. Amen. Well, I hope you came to hear something from the Lord. I know I did, so I'm going to sit down and... No, wait a minute. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. And... I, like Brother Jimmy said this morning, it is an honor to get up here in the sacred desk and preach the Word of God. And, well, I'm excited. I love the chance to get to preach. And I was telling, I think, Brother David this afternoon, I don't care if they give me a street corner. I just love to preach. And I hope tonight that the Lord will give you what He gave me through this message. And, you know, every time you come to church, I teach my class this. Every time you come to church, ask God, listen, God, if you'll teach me something, if you'll give me something, if you'll tell me to do something, I'll do it. And Brother Brian says that repeatedly up here in the pulpit as well. And tonight my challenge to you is, if God speaks to your heart tonight, it doesn't matter if it comes from me, it doesn't matter if it comes from Brother Jimmy, it doesn't matter if it comes from my eyes, don't matter who it comes from, if God speaks to your heart, you ought to listen. And, you know, I'm afraid that one of the problems with our country, Brother Jimmy, is We sit in the church pews and we hear the preaching of the Word of God and we listen over and over and over services, and it's all become old and mundane, and we get that you know, even the Bible says where the honey's even bitter. And that's what we think of a church service. I'm going to go to church tonight because I have to. I'm going to listen to the message because I have to. I you know, if I'm not there, what is preacher going to think? Let me ask you something tonight. If you don't get something from the message, what's God going to think? And that's what we ought to be tonight. We ought to be asking God, God, I need something from you. I'm telling you, that's what I've prayed all this afternoon. As I was studying, God, I need you to give me something. I need you to give me a message to give our people tonight. And I know Brother Brian, and he'll be praying for the message tonight also. And listen, again, it's not about who's giving the message.
Right.
Put aside, you know, if you don't like me, that's okay, but listen to the message.
Amen.
All right? So let's start out here in Joshua chapter 1. And let's pray, and before we get started. Lord, we love you, and Lord, I'm so thankful to get to stand behind here and preach. And God, I sure don't deserve to be able to preach, and I'm so glad that you give me the opportunities. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you called me to preach. Lord, tonight I pray, Lord, that you'd move me aside. God, that you'd come down here and stand behind this pulpit and speak through my voice box and through my lips, God. And I pray that I'd not say anything that you wouldn't have me say, and I would only say those things that you'd want your people to hear tonight. God, because we do need to hear from you. And Lord, I know me, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry tonight. And Lord, I know what you've laid on my heart. And God, I pray that we'll hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. And Lord, as we preach and we get through this message, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to leave here different than we came in tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. That's familiar verses here in Joshua chapter 1. Start here in verse 7. It says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then, thou shalt have good success." You notice there that he differentiated prosperous and success. And that's not my message tonight, but I want to point that out. There's too many preachers on the TV preaching that if, you know, you come to my church, if you send me this seed offering, you'll send this, then you're going to prosper, and that's the way you know you're saved. They're preaching a prosperity gospel. And that's not the truth, my friend. The Bible teaches that only success that comes from God, and it's through His Word, by observing His Word, is true success.
Amen.
What I want to highlight tonight is those two words, the one word in the two verses, observe. And I want to preach tonight on the message, did you miss the sign? Did you miss the sign? Every day we look at signs. We observe what they say, and we choose whether or not to pay attention to them or let them go. A sign has a purpose, whether it's for an information, a direction, a cause, an announcement. Whatever the purpose is, it's hung up, it's put up in front of somebody or something or some group of people for a reason. You know, when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, you know, they don't put them big, huge banners on the road or them billboards on the road just to put them up. They're signs so you can see something. They're signs so you can notice an advertisement. You can notice a company. You can notice a certain branch of the military, or you can notice a certain kind of product. But the sign's there for you to see for a reason. And see, the Bible, when God inspired the men to pin down the scriptures, He intended for it to be a sign for us, for our Christian life. There were some things that He put here in the Word of God that He intended for us to see for a purpose. There were some things that verses in here and some scripture and some doctrine and some teachings that he had put in the Word of God so that we might see them. And that's how we know to live our Christian life. These signs that God puts in here are not too hard for us to understand. You know, we think about simple Christianity. You know, five things we ought to be doing. Everybody in here probably can name five things that we ought to be doing as a Christian. We ought to be in church faithfully. We ought to be soul winning. We ought to be tithing. We ought to be praying. We ought to be reading the Bible. We all know that. But did you miss a sign somewhere? A lot of us will never get past where we're at in our Christian life because we fail to see the signs that God has for us. You know, a while back, me and my wife were driving, and it was through a familiar neighborhood, and I ran right through a stop sign. And she's like, "Did you see that? Are you not paying attention?" You know, I know y'all know her, and she don't get excited about nothing. And she, you didn't see the stop sign? I missed it. And what would have happened if I'd have got caught? I got a ticket for that. See? I missed the sign. Have you ever been somewhere or you were trying to go somewhere to find your way and you were hoping and intending on following signs, but you couldn't see the signs on where you were going? I know Brother Steve, he used to be a truck driver. And I'm sure he's got a lot of stories about going places and they told you, you know, look for this barn on this side of the road with the wheelbarrow hanging up a certain way, you know. And you know, whatever the sign was, it was intended for a reason. But sometimes we miss the signs. We kind of live our life, our Christian life that way. We just miss all the signs and we just kind of live our life as if God's not really watching what we're doing. We live our life as if God's not really paying attention. Like Brother Jimmy said this morning, we live our life and like God's not coming back. We live our life like, yeah, you know, I hear the messages at church, and yes, I understand one day Jesus is coming back, and yes, I do want to go to heaven. But are you going to stand before the Lord in the middle of a curse word? Mm-hmm. Right. Are you going to stand before the Lord tipping back alcohol? Are you going to stand before the Lord robbing God of his tithe? Amen. See, the thing is about the Christian life is we don't know when God is going to come. That's why he said that we need to be observant to do according to all that is written therein. I want to show you tonight some signs maybe God is trying to show you. I'm going to get some help if I can tonight. Brother David, if you'll come up first. Just stand right down here. What about a stop sign? Let's turn over to, wrote it down here. No, I can't find the verse. That's good. A stop sign has only one meaning. Stop. It's not confusing. There's nothing complicated about this sign. I could take the youngest child in here and say, stop. And they would know exactly what that means. Right. In our Christian life, God's put up some stop signs. Amen. He's put a stop signs for instruction for us to stop doing some things. He's also put up some stop signs for us to stop what we're doing. We ought to stop sinning. Amen. You know, you know, you say, Brother Russell, I'm human. I'm flesh. I'm going to sin. Well, you're right. You're exactly right. We're all going to sin. We're going to mess up. We're going to drop the ball from time to time. But you know what? We need to get to the place where we're doing our dead level best to stop sinning. But I don't necessarily want to point to that tonight. The Bible says that God told his people. He told Moses, tell the people, stand still and know that I'm God. You know what he was wanting you to do? He wanted you to stop. He was wanting you to get the whole picture. He said, stand still and know that I am God. Too many times we get caught up in the rush of life. We don't pray and we don't read our Bible and we don't do the things that God's told us to do these things already. We've heard it from the pastor. We've heard it in different messages. We know the Bible teaches that, you know, we ought to be in our Bible every day. We ought to be praying every day. We ought to be walking with God. We ought to be talking with God. Everything we do ought to be focused around God. But, you know, we it's kind of like we told the teenagers at camp. You know, we make what we was telling the teenagers, pounding your head, a camp decision. A camp, but we don't want camp decision. We want life decision. But, you know, that's what we do here at church. We can't expect our kids to come back from camp and do any different if all we ever do is Sunday night decisions or Wednesday night decisions or revival decisions or whatever the case may be. You know, maybe if us as adults, we got serious about the things of God and stopped and stood still and seen God and walked with God and get a hold of God, maybe those that were behind us would follow on.
Amen.
But see, the problem is not that, you know, we just can't do it. The problem is we won't do it. It takes discipline to stop and stand still and know that I'm God. That's, God told us over, that little phrase is quoted. I did a count. It's quoted over 70 times in the Bible. Stand still and know that I'm God. Stop. And it doesn't say stop, but it's over and over. Stand still. Know that I'm God. Stand still. Know that I'm God. Stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. You know what he's trying to get us to do? Brother Viviano, he wants us to stop. Let me ask you something. When's the last time? And be honest with yourself tonight. When's the last time that you just said, you know what, I'm not stopping praying. I'm not going to go do anything till I get a hold of God. Till I know that God's heard my prayer and I know that I'm right with God completely in every way. But before I do anything today, I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to stop doing everything else that this world has for me. I'm going to stop letting the devil have control of my life. I'm going to stop letting the strongholds in my life predict what I do. I'm going to stop all that and I'm going to get a hold of God and I'm going to stand still and know that he's God. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time that you really sought God's face? When's the last time when you knew that you were standing in the presence of God? When's the last time you stopped and knew that God was there? I'm telling you tonight, God's putting the signs out there, but we're missing them. God's throwing them stop signs up left and right. But I'll tell you, Lynn, when you get in college, it's going to be hectic. You got a busy schedule, you got classes, homework. I've been there, I understand. But you'll get away from God quick in college if you don't stop sometimes.
Right. Amen.
And get a hold of God. And grab a hold of that altar and say, I'm not letting go until just like Jacob did when he wrestled God. I'm not letting go, God, until you give me a blessing. You know what Jacob had to do? He had to stop. And you know what God did? He changed his name from deceiver and supplanter to Israel. My blessed children, my chosen generation. Let me ask you something tonight. When's the last time you stopped? When's the last time you said, I'm not moving until God moves first? You say, Brother Russell, I got a job and I got to do this and I got the kids and I got the wife and I got the husband. Yeah, I know. You just told me who comes first in your life. You just told me who comes first. Listen, family is important and the job's important. I mean, you got to pay the bills and I understand all that. But when you start putting God on the back burner, like Brother Jimmy said, or you take him off the stove, he just goes, you ain't stopped. That's what we need to do tonight, stop. I remember those times, sweet times, and I'm guilty of this just like anybody else. I mean, you get busy, and you just get running and running and running, and you just forget. I go back to this a lot, man, that little creek there in Alabama, Brother Brad, that I was staying at that ranch, man, that place is special to me. That's holy ground. Because, you know, that's where I stopped and got a hold of God every morning. I got to ask myself, too, when's the last time I stopped? Boy, and I'm ashamed. The problem is though, that you're not ashamed tonight. You don't care. You can live your life and continue the way you are. Because you know what? It doesn't matter about what God wants. You're content where you're at. You say, Brother Russell, I'm saved. I go to church. Man, get off my back. No, God didn't die on the cross for your sins. He didn't shed his blood on Calvary. He didn't go through the agony and pain and the suffering and the bearing of your sins so that when you got saved, all you had was fire insurance. That's not what he did, my friend. He saved you to sanctify you. I taught in my classes, sanctify doesn't just mean set apart. Doesn't mean just cut out of the fold. That means set apart for a specific function that God has for you. And many of you, all you want to do is come to church and you sit in the pews and you don't do anything and you haven't stopped and asked God, what can I do for you? Because you don't want to do nothing for God. You're afraid if you stop that God's going to tell you to do something and you don't want to do it. Because it takes time and it does get tiring. It does get overbearing sometimes. It does get overwhelming and you seem like that all you do is go home and go to church and go to work. And then it does seem like that sometimes. But my friend, let me tell you something that is worth it. Because when I stand before God, if I live my life that way, that I give everything I have to God, I'm going to have crowns to cast at His feet. Amen. We need to stop tonight. Amen. And know that He's God. He's got an intention for you. You say, I'm just 11 years old. Or some of you older ones, I'm 60-something years old. I'm telling you, God's got a purpose for your life. Amen. And when you just refuse to stop and see that God is God, I'm going to do my thing. You know, I punch my time in at church, and I punch out. Nobody can say I'm not faithful because I'm there. When's the last time you stopped? God's thrown the signs out there. Did you miss the sign? Number two. Mark Anthony, would you come and help me with this one? And come over here, if you would. Number two, some of the signs we miss is yield. Yield. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. I wrote this verse down, so I remember now where it's at. There's some of you that are qualified to laugh at that, but some of you aren't, so no. Till you stand up here and you forget something, all right? No, I'm teasing. Let's read verse 13 here. The Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. You know what your instruments are? Anything God gave you to use. Anything God gave you to use. You know what that means? Your eyes. Your hands. Your mind. Your feet. Your legs. Those are instruments that God gave you to use. He said, neither yield your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Let's continue on there. Verse 13. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know what he's saying in that verse? Let me break it down for you. Give everything you got to God. Just let him have it. You know, God can have my tithe and he can have a little bit of my time on Sunday mornings, but I'm not going to get up on Saturday mornings to go out and knock doors. You know, God can, you know, I'll show up Wednesday night, but Thursday night when they're having soul winning, they can forget it. You know, I need my rest. And it's true, you need rest. You can't just run all the time. But some of you, you major in rest. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't get your, 12 hours of sleep a day, then you're messed up. Hey, I'm just telling you the truth tonight. This is the Bible, not Brother Russell. You know, it used to be, we talk about these revivals that they had 3 and 4 weeks. Do you realize that, when they go up in the woods and have them revivals, you know what them guys were that would go to the revivals? Now, I'm not talking about the preachers. I'm talking about the men and the ladies that were in the church. You realize what they were? You know what their jobs were? They were, farmers and miners. And don't you probably think that they probably worked? They didn't have OSHA back then. Yeah, it wasn't 9 to 5. You know why God blessed them? Because they said, you know what? I'm going to yield everything I've got to God. Even if I'm tired when I get up in the morning, I'm going to give it God everything I've got. Amen. Can you say tonight that God owns everything that I have? God has it all. May not be much, but He's got it all. Can you say that tonight? Hey, He's thrown the signs up there. He's put the signs out on the road for you. Are you yielding tonight? I got to thinking about yielding on the highway, or on the road. When we think about yielding, real simple. When we yield, another thing about those yield signs is that I'm giving in to somebody else. Do you understand tonight that sign has also to do with I'm getting along with the other drivers on the highway? Brother Brian stood up here a few weeks ago and preached about us getting along together and having bitterness and animosity and hatred toward our brothers and sisters. And some of you still ain't got that right. You got too much pride to go and get that right. And God's been holding up the sign for 3 weeks now, and you still ain't done it. You justify it over and over again, and you say this, and you got your excuses. But the truth of the matter is, when we break it down real plain and simple, when we find out the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you haven't yielded. We're not all going to agree on the same thing, but we learn how to work together. Unity is a big deal in the local church. The Bible teaches over and over and over and over and over and over again how we're to be one as a church. The Bible says in Amos, how can two walk together except they be agree? Well, I don't have to be their friend. That's not what the Bible teaches. If I yield, that's putting myself down and preferring someone over me. I may not like it. No one likes to humble themselves. No one does. But if I'm going to get the signs that God's put in front of me, if I'm going to, again, remember those signs have a purpose. In our Christian life, God's throwing them signs up at the times that we need those signs. And some of you will never get further down the road because you can't get past that sign. Because that sign is going to keep coming up again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. And again. Until it gets to your head that God's trying to show you something. He wants us to yield. Not only yield to Him, but I'm to yield to my brother and sister in Christ. Go back to the camp, and I think about this word yielding, and all the people that prepared the way to go to camp, one way or the other, and everybody that helped had about seven different ideas of how it should be done. I mean, I thought it should be this certain way on certain things, but Jimmy thought it would be a certain way on certain things, and Miss Brittany, she thought it would be a certain way on certain things, Miss Nancy, she had her, I mean, Miss Tammy, we all had these ideas, and we all thought it should be a certain way. But you know what we had to do? Yield. If we didn't do that, we wouldn't have the weekend we had. Because God's not going to bless division. Amen. Some of you are still holding on to that sign. You're not going to do it. It doesn't matter how much the Lord works in your heart. It doesn't matter how much you get kicked and stomped and the preaching goes on. It don't matter. You got so much pride tonight that you're not willing to go to your brother and sister and say, look, this strife between us, God's not going to bless it. And you know, when you don't do that, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting that person. You're doing damage to the body of Christ.
Amen.
You ought to be willing to say, look, you know, for the sake of our whole church, you know, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if this came across the wrong way, or I'm sorry you didn't like the way I said this, or I'm sorry, you know. Where's that at? Are you too good to yield? Yeah. Even if I don't like it, that's the truth. God's put some signs out there. Did you miss it? Did you miss it? Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Chaddy, I'm going to get you to help me with this one, okay? Maybe this one of the signs that God has for you is railroad crossing. Now stay with me. Don't let that throw you. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 17 here. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, and be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our brother Paul, also according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Look here in verse 17. It says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know what he was saying there? He said, you know that the way of heaven is salvation. You know that God's been good to you. So beware of distractions. Beware of oncoming traffic. You know, when I see the railroad crossing, you know, one of the things I think, there's going to be a train coming. There's something that's bigger than me that can stomp me in the tracks. But another thing that I think of is when I see those railroad crossing signs, I better slow down a little bit because I got to go over them tracks. This sign lets us know that trains come through at certain points, but also lets us know that there's a rough spot and to slow down and be cautious. We'll go throughout our Christian life with many trials and heartaches. But the Bible says that beware that as you travel in these certain areas of your life when the road gets rough, slow down and have wisdom enough to avoid those trains and cross through those rough patches. You know, when I was younger, we used to think it was cool to try to hit them railroad tracks as hard as we could, see if we can get the car to fly, you know. And what we didn't know is they're going to mess my car up. It's important to see that when God throws the signs up, that we listen. That railroad crossing, man, that you got to watch out for them trains. You got to watch out for the railroad tracks. Those are points in our life whenever we don't understand. You know, I've sat at trains and I'm in a hurry to get somewhere. You ever been there? I'm in a hurry and I got to be somewhere. And man, that train seems to take forever. And then it stops and goes in reverse back the other way. That makes me mad. That happens in our life sometimes. God's got those trains coming through. And he's putting up those signs. Listen, hey, I want you to slow down. I want you to get wisdom from me. There's going to be a couple rough spots up ahead, but you can glean strength from me. What's the Bible? Paul said, he said, in my weakness, I'm strong. See, God allows us to go through those rough times and the rough patches of life to make us stronger. When I was thinking about that railroad crossing, I'm thinking of, you hear of people getting hit by the trains. You know what happens? They weren't paying attention to the signs. Sometimes we get hit by trains, don't we, in our Christian life. Some things come our way we don't understand. And we get smacked around good. I wonder sometimes if we weren't just not paying attention to the signs. Did you miss a sign? You know, God has that sign out there. Stop. Be still. Know that I'm God. Be still. Know that I'm God. He wants us to get a hold of him. Amen. He's got the sign out there. Yield. I'm to yield to God. Everything I have belongs to God. All my possessions, all my being, everything about me, my time, my pleasures, all to be given to God. Whatever God wants, he can have it. I'm to yield to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm to love them and put others before me and for the sake of the Lord. But what you'll find out is if you yield, God blesses that so much. Amen. I give the illustration about camp, and I can't help but believe that God blessed that camp week because we yielded to each other. Were there bumps? Yeah, you better believe it. God took that thing and made something beautiful out of it because we learned how to yield. Sometimes in life, you get those railroad crossings where God's telling you, hey, slow down. You got a train coming through. Slow down. If you hit that railroad track too hard, you'll mess your car up. That's what he's wanting us to do in our Christian life. Slow down. Beware of the rough spots. These times are coming. Got the flashing lights and the big arms. Of course, you got some idiots that try to go through the arms to get past, thinking they can beat the train. God said, watch out. Don't miss the signs. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 tonight for the last sign. Now, Isaac, I'm going to have you come help me with that. Let's read here in verse 7. It says this. You did run well. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Sometimes there's some exit signs. See? And these are signs we want to avoid. See, the difference between these signs here is the Lord put them up. He's putting those signs up for you. Yield. Hey, stop and know that I'm God. Hey, watch out. I'm listening. You know, watch out for the trains. You know who puts up the exit signs? The devil. Paul's trying to tell the church here in Galatia, you ran well. What's going on? What happened? I've heard a bunch of sermons on this verse. But I can't help but think that he's thinking, man, you know, if you were applying it to the message tonight, man, these people got off on the exit ramp. They quit. Right. They stopped serving. Amen. What hindered them? What? They followed the exit sign. Let me show you something tonight. I want you to look at the sign here. Look at the sign here. Look at this sign. And then look at this one. You know what the difference is? These signs are just making a statement. This sign is telling you where to go and making a statement. I tell my class this all the time. You give the devil an inch, he'll take it all. See, Jesus is a gentleman. He's going to tell you what's right. The devil will have you thinking, hey, this is the way you ought to go. Back here, now. Right. This way. You did run well. You did run well. But you hit the exit sign. These are the signs that the devil puts up when it gets rough. Hey, these are the signs the devil puts up when the preacher stands up here and says something you don't like. I can't live that way. Exit. I'm not going to do that. Exit. Is that, man, that preacher's asking for this again? Exit. And every time you don't listen to what God has for you, and God's speaking to your heart, and God's he's got a specific function, and he's working you over, man. And man, he's telling you, Joe, you need to be doing this, and Joe, you need to be doing that. And man, he's getting in, he's working on your heart. And he's convicting you every time Brother Jimmy gets up here and reads the announcements about he needs some kind of a worker somewhere. And as soon as he says a ministry, man, the Lord pricks your heart about something, and man, you immediately you hit the exit ramp. Amen. Immediately. There's a time when you didn't even know what the exit ramp looked like. You did run well. What did hinder you? You know what hinders us? The world, the flesh, and the devil. As soon as we see that exit sign, that's our way out. This is my way to do what I want to do. Brother Brad, I can handle them all. I'm okay. You know, Brother Russell, Brother Jimmy, and Brother Brad, Brother Dwayne, they're going to handle the soul winning, you know. They're going to handle the ministries up there. What do we got to do? You know, Aunt Jenny, she's teaching the class. She's okay. She can handle it. I like plenty of nursery workers. You know, they're all right. Oh, Miss Brittany does fine with the sound booth. You know what? I'm excellent. You know, the yard gets mowed eventually. Hey, you know, we pay Brother Brian. Exit ramp. Oh, you know. They got enough people spaced out up there in the choir. I don't need to get up there.
Come on.
Exit ramp. God, you want me to give to some kind of a mission? Exit ramp. Got quiet. Listen. We need to make a habit of avoiding these. These exit ramps, there's something dangerous about them. When you get down, when you're coming off the highway, a lot of times it's hard to slow down getting off. You never know what's down there at the bottom of the ramp. You've got to get over. And usually, now we're back to the Christian life, the devil's got something waiting for you down there.
Right.
He's got the fishing boat down there. Mm-hmm. He's got the world's fashions down there. He's got your bed down there. He's got materialistic things down there. He's got your booze down there. He's got those exit ramp items. You know that when you exit, you're not going anywhere. You're at the exit ramp. That's it. Where are you at tonight? Did you miss the sign? Did you miss the sign tonight? Jesus, God said, I want you to stop. Stand still. No, I'm God. He wants us to yield. Yield to Him. Everything we got. Everything. Yield to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Get it right. Tonight's a good night to do that. He wants us to watch out for the rough times and the rough patches and the railroad crossings. And He wants us to watch out for those trains that come sometimes. And we ought to avoid those exit ramps. We ought to avoid them. Some of you tonight, you're on that median. You're going down the road on the like that. You want too much for yourself and none of God. You know, like the song Brother Brian sings, none of self, all of thee. What signs did you miss tonight? When I was preparing this, Lord, I mean, he's working me over, Brother Bob. He's just tearing me up. Because I know that some things in my life I missed the signs on. What about you tonight? Did you miss a sign somewhere? They're down here at the altar. You can come find them. Again, every head bowed, every eye closed, you can stand. We don't have any musicians tonight, and you know that.